Today's reading from Luke, our gospel reading, is a difficult reading. These are challenging words that Jesus has. He reminds us that our call is to follow him. And his reminder to us today is that it is at a great cost. Jesus says, "Follow me." He sends the disciples ahead of him into the region of Samaria to a village there, and they do not receive Jesus. They don't want him coming in to do ministry. And we're told that the reason is that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, that they knew his final destination. Perhaps that's what the disciples told them. His final destination was to go back to his own people, the Jewish people, at the nation's capital there in Jerusalem. And we don't know the details, but it seems as if there was a tribal conflict here, that the Samaritans, as we know, did not get along with the Jews, nor did the Jews get along with the Samaritans. And so maybe Jesus was excluded just by virtue of his nation of origin. James and John pick up on whatever it is that they're offended by, and they want a replay of Sodom and Gomorrah. They want Jesus to call down fire and brimstone, fire from heaven, to consume all these people in the village that rejected him. And of course, Jesus rebukes them. We later find out that Jesus gives them a nickname. They're called the Sons of Thunder. Perhaps as a humorous reminder or a humbling reminder of their nature to call upon God's wrath and this retributive justice against those who offended them or wronged them. And I wonder what Jesus' rebuke was. We're not told the exact words, and yet we have great words from Jesus just a few chapters before in Luke chapter 6, just three chapters before. Jesus teaches by beginning with these words, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." That is a good rebuke to our prejudices and to our hatred toward those people who are not like us. Jesus calls us to love and to pray for our enemies and to return good for evil. That is the gospel that Jesus proclaims and the one that he wants James and John to stand upon, not those old battles between the Samaritans and the Jews. In 1930 to 1931, theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually came to New York City. He came to study at Union Theological Seminary, and he church-hopped, like a lot of people do, and he ended up at Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, which was an African-American church there. There he learned how the people in that community dealt with racial prejudice and racial injustice, and how they answered non-violently, and how they returned love for the mistreatment that they received, and how they prayed for their enemies, so-called. And so when Dietrich Bonhoeffer went back to Germany, he brought back with him a vision of how we as Christians follow Jesus in the midst of injustice. And so when he saw all the marginalized peoples in Germany being arrested and mistreated, especially the Jews, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had family that were Jewish, he set out to create a vision of what it meant to follow Jesus, and he wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. To answer this question, what does it mean for me as a believer to follow Jesus in the midst of a cruel, sinful, and unjust world? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that following Jesus is not a casual choice, but a costly commitment that requires a complete surrender to Christ, even to the point of suffering, and if God wills, death. And so we have in our Old Testament reading the call of Elisha, where he burns his yoke, he slaughters the oxen to follow Elijah. What does that mean? To leave his family and to leave his livelihood. But a reorientation of his priorities, that now he's not just serving his own tribe, his own family. He's not just living for himself, to provide for himself, but now he has a higher call, a higher vision of following God. And so he turns away from that to follow Elijah and to take upon that himself, that mantle of being a prophet. This isn't the first time. You'll remember Adam and Eve when they are brought together. Moses has this editorial comment right after Adam receives Eve as his wife. He said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's what it is to follow Jesus. It's to leave behind, to become one with Christ, our bridegroom. It comes at a cost, that we reprioritize our family loyalties to have a higher loyalty. And of course, it doesn't mean that when we leave our mother and our father that we stop honoring our mothers and our fathers and stop loving them, but we have now a higher priority of what it means to follow God. We see this with Abraham when God calls him as Abram. He's told to go and to leave his household, to leave his hometown, Ur, and to travel to a destination he doesn't know. And God promises to make him a great nation, and that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. Again, a reorientation of his priorities. Dietrich Bonhoeffer later came back to New York City on invitation from Reinhold Niebuhr. Reinhold Niebuhr is the one who wrote the Serenity Prayer. Perhaps you know it. "God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." So he invited Dietrich Bonhoeffer to teach with him at Union Theological Seminary. And it was actually there when Dietrich Bonhoeffer realized that he had to go back. He had to leave behind the self-interest in his burgeoning career as a pastor and a theologian to go back to Germany to join the struggle against evil in his own country. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that this is what it means to follow Jesus, to deny oneself and to take up your cross and to follow. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer died kind of to himself when he went back to Germany, putting the interests of others before himself. He set his face toward Germany and to a Germany that was just and that reconciled people to one another and reconciled them to God. That this is what it means to be a Christian in our world, to be a source of hope, a source of reconciliation, to preach the good news of Jesus, who conquers our sin and all evil by the cross and the empty grave. On April 9th, 1945, just hours before this part of Germany was liberated, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged to death for his war crimes. And it would just be months later that the war would end with Germany. But that book, The Cost of Discipleship, gave us the vision of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer accomplished with those simple words of Jesus, "Follow me." He set his face to Germany just as Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. And Jesus knew what awaited him there. He predicted that he would be arrested, that he would be tried and mistreated and mocked, and that he would be put to death and then on the third day rise again. And so what Jesus did in setting his face toward Jerusalem by following this path that his heavenly Father called him upon was that he set his eyes upon our salvation. He set his eyes and his path toward our reconciliation between peoples, no matter how different they are. That's God's will, is to bring us and to make us one together. In Acts 1:8, after Jesus rises from the dead, and as he ascends to the Father, he gives this charge to the disciples again. Another charge to follow him. He says, "You will be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, that you will follow me and you will follow this path of preaching the good news, beginning in the very place where he set his face." Now, Jesus' face is set in Jerusalem, outward to the whole world, to reconcile all peoples to himself and all of us together so that we would be one. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And the great cost to us is simply to let go of those old priorities and to put Jesus and God's relationship with us first and to follow. In the name of Jesus, amen.